Saga Egmont presents The Bride's Secret by Rosie Walker, read by Laura Bryden. Part 1. Chapter 1.
Tomorrow marks the first day of the rest of my life, and I can't wait for it to begin, I say in a quavering voice as I look around the table at my closest friends and family. They gaze back at me with expectant smiles. I wink at Ella, a client-turned-friend who encouraged me to stand up tonight, pressing a fresh glass of champagne and orange juice into my hand and chanting, "Speech, speech, speech!" She nods back, a huge grin on her face as she smiles at Robert and me. So many weddings have men talking about the bride, she'd argued. The best man's speech, the groom's speech, the father of the bride. So today, with Ella's encouragement, I decided to buck tradition. And because it's such a tight-knit group of close friends and family here at the rehearsal dinner, I have the courage to stand up and speak. I glance up at my fiancé, Robert, who stands next to me, a glass in his hand and his other arm wrapped around my waist, pulling me close. He smells of home, and I want to nuzzle into the space between his neck and his shoulder. His hazel eyes twinkle in the candlelight, and I think I detect a sparkle of an unshed tear. I suppress a giggle and remind myself to tease him later. But I wouldn't change a thing. We're perfect opposites, always. I'm rough, he's smooth, I'm rigid, he's soft, and somehow it works. We made it. I clear my throat, knowing what I'm going to say even without preparing. I'm going to tell the truth from my heart, even if I feel a bit ridiculous doing it. I hadn't been looking to fall in love. I was perfectly fine on my own, I'd tell myself, and anyone else who'd listen. A few seats away down the table, Mum and Dad exchange a smile, and I see Mum grab Dad's arthritic hand under the table and squeeze, their shoulders touching. They coordinated their outfits, the baby blue of his tie matching the sash on her dress. Next to them, Robert's mother Hilda takes a pinch-mouthed sip from her glass before setting it down, her trademark brown lipstick leaving a perfect half-moon on the rim. She's staring at the tablecloth in front of her, not looking up to meet my eyes as I speak. She's never liked me. I put it down to typical reservations about my look, my short, red, wavy bob, muscular physique, and stacked ear piercings. But she's here for Robert, and that's what matters. I had my friends, my classes and clients, my little flat, my cat, Napoleon. I'd been intentionally on my own for years and wasn't looking for a man. I was tough and spiky and independent and quite content. Until one day, 2 years ago, I met my best friend Sarah's older brother at her 30th birthday party. It's a bonus that our marriage will transform Sarah into my sister-in-law too. I glance at her empty seat halfway down the table and a twinge of disappointment squeezes my chest. But she's a high-flying data technology lawyer, and she'd already warned me that a big meeting with New York clients might mean she misses the dinner tonight. I see a frown cross Robert's brow at the mention of his sister too. I know he was disappointed when she phoned to say she wouldn't make it tonight. Even though they're adults, they sometimes bicker like children, and I could hear from Robert's whispered admonitions down the phone that he wasn't pleased with her, and I suspect the feeling was mutual. Still, tomorrow's the most important part, and she'll be here for that. Sarah's always come through for me in the end. I take a breath and continue with the speech. Within just a few days, my armour fell away and my heart opened up to this tall, skinny, and slightly awkward artist with kind eyes that crinkle in the corners. I feel my cheeks growing hot at this uncharacteristic openness, and Robert tightens his grip around my waist, planting a kiss on top of my head. I look up at him in silent thanks for his solidarity. He's always right next to me when I need him. I fell in love fast and hard, and when Robert proposed on our 1-year anniversary, I didn't hesitate.